start. It's the Video Film Podcast. It's Jesse and Adam. We got three movies. We had a bonus movie this week. It's probably my favorite movie of the week as well.
Which movie? Predestination. You gotta tell people.
I thought you were going to tell people. Predestination is the movie. It's a fucking crazy thing. The other two movies are State of Grace and something else. I forget.
Once.
Once is a good movie. State of Grace is also a pretty good movie. What?
Do you know anything else about them? Like maybe the director or maybe the year they came out or we're never doing that again. Okay. Forget it then.
That's your, that's your thing. You like to do that.
I'll forget
but
it.
But I'll do it. No. State of Grace came out in 1990, directed by Phil Giovanni. And Once came out in 2006. It was directed by John Carney. And Predestination came out in 2014. It was directed by Michael and Peter Spierig.
Okay, good stuff. A little context.
They're twins.
Rather than just the title. I did not know that. The people that directed the Predestination?
Yes. Predestination.
I was not aware.
Which is kind of funny that they would make a movie like this because they're twins.
In what way is that funny?
Well, twins are essentially the same person. They're identical twins.
Oh, I get it.
And then they make a movie where, spoiler alert, everyone is the same person.
Yeah.
I think I'm confused. I'm still confused about that movie, but I'm glad that you want to talk about it on the podcast because I was watching it on a, I don't know, just on a morning last week. And
Why'd you suddenly pick that movie?
Well, I didn't pick it. You mean just to watch?
Yes.
I just thought, I've heard this movie's insane. And people were putting it down, I think because they were calling it like anti-trans, which I don't think it is at all. But they were like, this movie's crazy and stupid. And it makes no sense, and it's trying to say something about trans people, which I don't know what they think it's trying to say.
That's hilarious.
Has nothing to do with it, really.
That somebody could watch that and somehow say that it's anti-trans. That's why, like, that's, you can't say anything at all related to any kind of trans, any topic about trans, anything, because you'll be branded anti-trans. Unless you have to actually become trans to be allowed to have an opinion, I think.
Maybe.
If any non-trans person says anything about it, it can be taken as an insult. That's you're crazy. You're oversensitive. There was a guy on the Ralph Garman podcast. There was multiple people, and I've told you this before. Mm-hmm. He used to read their exit surveys when they'd quit Patreon, and he'd read their exit surveys because you're supposed to leave something when you unsubscribe. And multiple ones accused him of being transphobic because at the beginning of the show, he used to say, "Hi, boys and girls, get ready for today's episode."
Boys and girls, yeah.
But you should not say, "Yeah, that makes sense." That does not make any fucking... You're not allowed to say the word boys and girls anymore? That's fucked up. People are fucking totally nuts.
I guess, yeah. I suppose that could be considered by some people not representing other...
All right, new topic. I don't want to hear anything else from you. You're just as fucking insane as all the rest of the people.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm saying what I think they're thinking. But I don't think this movie is... I think, if anything, this movie is saying that people should get to pick their own gender rather than have it forced on them because of a botched I guess, a botched delivery
I
in
don't think
birth.
it's making any kind of fucking comment on that at all. It's a time
Well, I
travel
think the
movie.
character, yeah, but I think the character of John, is it?
Jane.
Is.
See, you're transphobic.
But doesn't she rename herself John? Or what does she name herself when she becomes a man?
It's you're transphobic. You picked the word John over the name Jane, and now you're transphobic.
Okay. Whatever it is, the person who's one of the Ethan Hawkes in this movie says something about, like, yeah, they just made that decision for me. When I woke up, they told me I now had a male urethra or something like that. I forget what it was.
Yeah, that's what happened in the movie.
Yeah, but he did not seem happy about that. Particularly,
So what? How is
it's
that anti-trans?
no, I that's what I'm saying is that it's not. I'm saying that the filmmakers, if anything, are saying you shouldn't pick people's gender for them.
And I going back to they did not have a stance on that at all. They needed this to happen for the time travel thing to all make sense and be a perfect loop, and for the whole movie to be to do what it was setting out to do. That's why they had to have that happen.
Yeah, that is, but they did make a comment on it.
They didn't make any comment on it. It just that was the thing that happened in the original story, I'm guessing.
Well, he didn't say, I'm glad they made me a man after I was a woman for 20 years. I'm glad they made finally I get to be a man.
No, he didn't say that.
That's what I'm saying.
That would have been a comment if he had have made some sort of statement like that.
No, the comment was, I wish I had got to choose my own identity.
Yeah, which is not a comment at all. It's what everybody would say.
Yeah.
So.
So it's not transphobic, is what I'm saying.
All right, this episode sucks. Let's scrap it.
Don't think so.
All
Let's
right.
keep going. Let's keep going. Okay, so Predestination. When did you see the movie? Because I don't, did you rewatch it for this?
Yeah, I
Okay,
probably
so
saw it 10 years ago.
you rewatched it for this, and what did you think of the time travel itself, like the means of time travel?
I you're so was it a suit? No, it wasn't a suit. It was a violin case.
Right.
I had no problem with that.
Do you like more when there's a big explanation of how the time travel works, or no explanation at all, like in this movie?
Yeah, you can't there. Yeah, I don't look for an explanation because there can't be one because it's not, as far as we know, it's not possible. But
I know,
okay.
but some movies go through like a whole thing of how the time travel works and what the rules are and like what you need to do when you're in the past and the future. And this one's
Yeah.
basically just like, don't do anything stupid. Just put a number in this case and then you'll go back. And that's it. Like, there's no, you don't know what's in the violin case. You don't know the physics behind it. You don't know anything, which I think for this movie works better because that's not the point. And then there's movies like, was it Deja Vu, where they go into a whole thing of like you can see it but you can't go there, and there's this thing and it's like a portal and you're like, oh boy.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden Denzel goes to the past.
All right. So I think those are two separate things. You're talking about what's inside the violin case. I mean, that I don't, there's no point in.
I'm talking about explaining how it works versus just, yeah, you go back in time
Well, that's what
and you don't need to know any more about it.
I was about to say. So you're talking about that as one thing, as the machine and how the machine works versus the rules of time travel. And I have no problem if you set out the rules of it. If you've got to have certain rules, that helps the viewer watching the movie understand logically how to put these things in logical order in their mind and figure out what's going to happen or what how the movie's going to try to predict the ending. So I have no
Yeah.
problem with rules. But if your movie doesn't spell out the rules for you, then it also leaves it open-ended. So you can go, can they change the past or not? We don't know yet. Because he is running through time trying to stop a bomber that blew up something in 1975.
Right.
Now, is he trying to stop the explosion? Or is he just trying to learn who the bomber is to stop him at some point?
Yeah, that's a tough one because he does go eventually and finds the bomber.
But he does say at the beginning of the movie, he keeps changing the date. It's in March of 1975, but he keeps changing the day that he does it on it, which makes it sound like maybe they did stop him once, but then he just did it on a different day. That's what it makes it sound like to me.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
and then also, at the end of the movie, he pulls out a scrapbook and says, look how many things we prevented from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make it seem like you can change the past.
Certainly, yeah.
But then the entire point of the movie is that you can't change it because this stuff had to happen in order for this person to exist in a loop.
But he does change the past by bringing himself as a baby back.
How does he change the past?
Well, because then there's another person in the past.
You're going to have to explain that to me because you just lost me.
So obviously things change because he brings himself as a baby back into the past and then creates the loop. And so he's obviously changed things because not everything could be the same if this baby grows up and has interactions with people.
Okay. But to me, that is saying that always happened. He didn't change it. It already happened. And it's always going to happen like that. Now, you're saying, did they show you an alternate future where the baby grew up from that year, from 1965, grew up and became 50 years old in the future? And then he changed that person's identity by taking him back in time to 1945? They don't show you that. They only show you the way that it always has played out, which is the baby always got taken back to 1945 and grew up in the orphanage.
How could it always have happened? Wouldn't it have it to happen the first time?
Wouldn't have had to happen the first time. Yeah, it did. It happened the first time and every time. It always happened.
But there would have to be a time before that it didn't happen.
Why?
Well, because you'd have to have the baby first.
I think you missed the entire point of the movie.
I don't think I missed the entire point of the movie is that Ethan Hawke is everyone. That's the point of the movie. That's the only thing in this movie that really matters. The bomber doesn't matter, which is also him. The girl who wants to be a space prostitute doesn't matter. The trans man who got turned trans because of a botched delivery, who is also him, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all, the only thing that matters is everyone is Ethan Hawke.
Right.
So, but for that to happen, somebody has to take the baby back.
He takes himself back. Yes.
He takes himself as a baby back.
Right.
Side question. Is he his own father as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wasn't, I think I missed the explanation of that. Okay.
Wow.
I didn't know if he was his own father. But so he has to bring the baby back one time, and then that's the first time.
Every right? time.
Yeah, boy.
I don't think this is that difficult to wrap your head around, but I also saw people saying it doesn't make sense. And Or, you know, what I didn't see people saying that, they
I'm
were
not saying it
asking.
doesn't make
They
sense.
were
I'm
asking,
saying.
explain it to me. That's what people were saying. They didn't get it. And then I saw them laying out what I was like, well, yeah, duh. That's exactly, obviously, that all made sense. I had some questions and I still have questions, but I'm like, I get the whole
I'm
point of
not
the
saying that it
movie.
doesn't make sense. It makes pretty good sense to me. I'm
Okay.
just saying that you have to do something for the first time. Like you have to, there has to be a first time she has the baby and he takes it back.
Right.
So he is changing the past because there was no baby before the first time he took it back.
Remember at the beginning when they make a joke about the chicken or the egg, which one came first?
Yes.
That's the philosophy of the movie. That's the whole
Right.
point, is that this all happened. It's already happened. There is no
That creates a
past, there's
loop.
no future, there's a loop. It's a predestination. It was
Right.
always going to happen. So to me, the whole point of the movie is that you can't change the past, but then they leave open-ended stuff. Like, it sounds like he was changing stuff by making news clippings, but you could also interpret that as he was just crazy. He thought that he was going around bombing stuff to save by st and stopping other events, and maybe at that point he was just so insane that he wasn't actually doing it. All these things have already taken place.
Yeah, you could definitely read it like that.
What,
Yeah,
how do
okay.
you read it?
No, I hadn't thought about it. I just kind of taken it literally in that they were actually stopping other things from happening.
Okay.
Because everything else seemed to be fairly literal, so I took that for what Ethan Hawke told himself.
Well, what else did you struggle with? What?
I didn't struggle with anything.
Oh, okay. You got it all, except for the whole thing with him being his own father.
I just missed that part.
That's a big part.
I assumed it because everyone else in the movie is Ethan Hawke. I assumed he was his own father, but I didn't,
Like,
I
you'd
guess.
have to really zone out. There's an entire sequence where he takes himself back to the past, himself as I forget the actress's name.
Sarah Snook?
There you go. You're good with names. You're good with names. You're not so good with time travel. But Sarah Snook, which is him, meets the younger Sarah Snook, and Sarah Snook is there to kill the mystery man. And then Sarah Snook realizes that she is the mystery man.
Oh, okay. Now it's coming back. Okay.
It's coming
It's been like
back.
a week and a half. Sorry. Okay. I thought it was, yeah, that's the problem is I thought it was Ethan Hawke that looks like Ethan Hawke that was the father, but it was Ethan Hawke who's before the face switch, before the face off thing, the face transplant. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
It's coming back now. Okay. So it was Ethan Hawke as, no, wait, it was Sarah Snook in makeup to play Ethan Hawke as a man, as a trans man.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that now. I'd forgotten that. Okay, so the movie makes sense. It's a good movie. Why did you want to save it for the podcast and talk about it?
I was kind of curious how you said it was crazy, and I didn't remember it being crazy. I remember it making perfect sense, and the way they reveal it to you, it all snapped in place for me. And I remember getting it on the first viewing. Like, oh, the reveal is that she was her own mystery man. And she realizes that and is still trying to think that she can change the past, but then she ends up playing it out exactly how it played out always. And everything plays out exactly as it is. It's a perfect loop. And I remembered, that's all I remembered about the movie. So I was curious why you said it's crazy.
Oh, it's not crazy as in I don't understand what's going on. It's crazy as in Ethan Hawke is everybody and everybody is Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
That's the crazy part, because you don't usually see people who are their own mother, father, grandfather, daughter combo.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Look, Jesse, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the time when we have our chats, I feel very dumb because I can't remember names of actors and places, and you crush me at Jeopardy, and you've just got a way better brain for remembering shit and being able to recall shit, and I get jealous of you. And yet when we have time travel conversations, and I'm clearly destroying you in the time travel part of my brain that works with time travel, but you won't admit it. You're like, oh, I got it all. I fucking got it all. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty fun.
I understand all the time travel stuff.
You're also just as good as me at time travel stuff as you are at all the trivia and everything else too. You just got to be the best at everything. It's that competitive fucking male.
Okay.
Aggression that comes out in you.
Let me say something.
It's not going to be a compliment for me.
In general,
there never has been one.
When we talk about the mechanics of what's going on in movies, you understand far more than I do.
What's a mechanic?
How the plot is working, what relates to whatever and influences other actions and what those things mean. You're much better at those things. I'm much better at remembering people's names. And that's it.
I never feel like that.
I feel like this was because they didn't do all the stuff that they usually do in time travel movies, which is try to over explain how it works and what they're doing and what they can and can't do. They just give you a few simple explanations, and then the movie hinges on who the characters are and what their relationship is in this movie. So this was much easier to understand than most of the time travel movies that we've done.
Well, like I said, I still have questions because I got done and I'm like, wait a minute, what? At the
what
end,
are your questions?
At the end, he comes into the shop, to the laundry shop, and he says he meets himself, and then he realizes that he is the bomber in the future who's gone insane. And then he says, in order for you, if you kill me, the bombing is going to happen tomorrow or something like that. The bombing will still happen where 11,000 people get killed. And he says, in order for you to stop this, you have to not kill me. And then he kills him. And then just after he says the line, you know what we're going to do tomorrow? And he goes, I don't care. And then he shoots him. He kills himself. He kills a future version of himself. And then I'm like, well, then how does the bombing still happen? And just as I was explaining it there, I'm thinking maybe you're supposed to think that he has already planted the bomb?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Because it's in a secret location, right? It's not.
Well, it's not secret, though, because he has the newspaper clippings. So, I guess it could be secret in that hidden in that building somewhere.
Yeah. It's secreted in the building. So.
But he also has a time travel device. So why couldn't he just go back and search that building forever until he found the device? So, I mean, I'm getting pretty really calling into question, but are you supposed to believe that the bombing still happens at that point in the movie, or are you supposed to think that he stopped it by killing himself?
I don't know. Maybe that's up for your own interpretation.
Yeah.
Of whether it's still going to happen or whether it's not going to happen or whether he's going to let it happen.
Yeah, that could be open for interpretation, maybe, or maybe not. Maybe it is supposed to be like the second that he kills himself, you're supposed to go, oh, I totally get how this whole thing happened. And I didn't really. I'm like, wait a minute, if he kills him, how does he still bomb that building? I
Yeah.
didn't understand that.
I assumed it was already planted just because this movie does, in some ways, remind me of Face Off, in that there's a bomb and it's in a building. And I think the one in Face Off is there for like 2 weeks or some crazy shit like that.
Yeah. It
And
could be.
they're looking for it. That's, you know, that and the face swapping thing. That was the things that reminded me of Face Off. But I assumed that that bomb had been hidden for a while.
Okay, I didn't make that assumption. I thought, why wouldn't he remember that he, as the younger version of himself, confronted him and killed himself at the laundry place? I want to call it a laundry shop.
Laundromat.
Laundromat, yeah. Thank you. See? You got it. I just can't think of words all of a sudden. I just
I knew
can't.
The word laundromat. Yeah. Pretty awesome.
I'm still not sure that I understood how that ending is, what it's exactly it's supposed to mean. It does seem like that's the loop, because he says, it makes a comment like, oh, I remember that. He says something like that to himself.
Oh,
I remember
okay.
that. But at that point, I guess he's just so crazy, and the craziness has happened because they say if you travel through time long enough, you'll go crazy. And so he continues to travel, because he tried to decommission his time travel device, but it failed. So he still has his time travel device. So he's still allowed to jump through time. And I guess he goes insane. But they don't really show you that, like the point that he went insane.
No.
And it was based on a short story, and there was too much to show in an hour and a half movie or whatever it was. So, and people didn't follow that hour and a half enough to like it. So if you had it tacked on more stuff where it shows him going through the insane cycle, you'd be like, you definitely, nobody would want to watch it. It'd be even more confusing than it already is.
Now that I think of it, it does kind of remind me of 12 Monkeys or something like that, where he becomes more and more sort of disoriented the more he travels through time and tries to stop this event.
And they kind of have to do that, because otherwise it would make no sense why he becomes the bomber.
Yeah.
They have to just be like, and they also have to go, and his face got burned off at some point, completely burned off. So that that you don't go, how did he get from Sarah Snook to Ethan Hawke? They have to show you, oh, his face got melted at some point, and they had to reconstruct it completely.
Yeah, at some point, and this was like way later, probably, than you realized it in the movie, I realized, oh, he must have gotten his face burnt off so that whole thing could happen. And he must be her. But that was like way later, I think, than you were supposed to get that.
I don't remember when I realized everything had happened. I just remember at the end of it, I went, oh, it all makes sense. Like, all this stuff makes sense. But I never really regarded it as like the perfect time travel movie, because I still had those questions. I just never went back and rewatched it to see if it all made sense. And I'm not sure it does, because there's too much stuff where you're like, okay, when Sarah Snook goes back and visits the young Sarah Snook, the moment she realizes, oh, I was the mystery man, I can't kill myself.
Yeah.
And then she falls in love with her younger self. Do you really think it would play out the same way that, because she'd be remembering all the stuff.
She knows all of it. Yeah.
So every single line she's giving is exactly how it came out the first time around. It's like, no, I'm not really buying this.
Yeah, it would be more like the movie we just watched, the Redux, where she goes back and talks to that guy and it's different every time.
It'd be more like that, except for that wasn't a time travel.
No, but in that sense, there, when you go back and you already know what's happened, you'd say something and it would be different than what had happened, than what you remember.
Yeah. So they didn't make that perfect to explain how she could do it. Other than, like, if they only had one, if it was a one night stand, I could buy it. Because she was so caught off guard with, oh, I'm the guy, and look how beautiful you are. And then everything she says could have been like just by being totally confused and caught off guard. but it seems like they have like a 2-year relationship or something.
It does seem like, yeah, they have a real relationship. Yeah.
So during that, once you've slept on it for a couple nights, you'd start to be like, oh, I remember. And then I went and met her in the park. And then we went to a movie theater, and then we did this. And it's like, am I going to do with all those exact same actions like I did the first time around? Or am I going to change it up a bit so that I can
Or,
prove that I can change the
yeah.
past?
Well, and maybe you can change the day-to-day things, but not the end of it, or
Yeah.
not, right?
That's the
Like
cop out. If
once she
you,
gets pregnant,
yeah.
that's gonna happen, and then you gotta steal the baby and take it back in time.
That's when I go, nope, not a time travel movie then. When you start to just go, oh, it's destiny, it's not science fiction anymore to me.
Well,
It
it's not
becomes
destiny
stupid.
because if she gets pregnant early on, right? Like, let's say their relationship, they start and she gets pregnant right away. She's always going to have the baby.
Yeah, that's fine.
So they can have a relationship in those 9 months, but the baby's always going to come and they're always going to have to take it back. So that
To
major thing.
me, it's one or the other. It's either time travel is a perfect loop, or you can alter the past, like Back to the Future style. And you're every time you change something, you're making a new dimension. That's the easy way to get around it. But no. Terminator 3, as soon as you went, Judgment Day is inevitable. You've just taken away everything that was cool about the first two movies by going, I hated that. I hated that. The second, the third Terminator movie just went, fuck the first two. Yeah, you prevented it or whatever. You changed the past, but it's inevitable. It's always going to happen. And so, yeah, you just moved it down the road a few years. Bullshit. That was what made the first one and two movies so cool, is that even when the second one ended, you didn't know if you could change the past or not. I know I'm asking for a lot for you to remember all that stuff.
I'm trying. I remember liking the idea that yes, you could postpone Judgment Day,
I hated
even
that.
if it,
That was the thing that I hated.
I know that you hate that because it should always be the same day or it shouldn't happen.
Well, it's one of the either you can change the past or you can't, and that's the whole point of the first movie, is that in order for them to build the Terminator machine, they have to find the Terminator arm and microchip that the Terminator brought back to the past with
In the
him when
sec
he
yeah,
time
that's the
traveled.
second movie, right?
No, the first movie he comes back, and then they cut his arm off in the machine and leave a microchip behind. And then yes, in the second movie they basically say, like, we built the Terminator based on the technology we found from the Terminator from the first one. And I think there's that mantra of there's no fate but what you make of it. And so she thinks you can't change the past, all this stuff. And also John's his own father or whatever. The guy that comes back from the future makes John Connor, right? All that stuff is setting you up to think you can't change the past. But then she wants to kill a guy that she thinks was the cause. Okay, I'm like, we can't get into Terminator anymore because.
You got down a fucking Terminator rabbit hole.
Sorry. It was they're great.
Nobody has ever thought of the time travel in Terminator more than you just did.
Really? I mean,
No,
James
because
Cameron did.
okay, James Cameron, yes, but no one who didn't make the movie. Like, I've never really heard of anybody talk about the intricacies of time travel in Terminator. They're always like, wasn't it awesome when he was like, he had the gun and then you thought he was going to shoot John, but then he shot the other guy. That was awesome.
Wow.
Or didn't you see the when remember when the truck and it went off the bridge? Awesome.
Well,
Like I never heard anyone actually try to get down to the rules of what should or shouldn't happen in Terminator movies vis-a-vis time travel.
man, I take that as a compliment. because I'm
Yeah,
like,
you should.
how could you not? Like, that was the whole point of the first two movies. That was James Cameron making an awesome thing.
Yeah.
And
awesome, but seemingly simple and not something that you would question, but you questioned it.
I mean, doesn't everybody's brain, as soon as they go, we built the Terminator based on the technology that the Terminator brought back to us. Doesn't everybody just go like, whoa, my mind is shattered.
Yes,
nobody gave
but
a
then
shit.
I think, yes, but then I think they instantly go, awesome, my mind is shattered, moving on. When is he going to freeze him with the thing and then shoot him into a million pieces?
I guess. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think I'm smart, and then other times I just think I'm a total moron. Like, they were talking on the Empire podcast about Scorsese and Mean Streets, and every time they throw out genre, I'm like, I'm a moron. I am the only one on planet Earth that doesn't get what a genre is. And I've done 250 episodes with my friend Jesse talking about movies every week. And I went to school for 3 fucking years about film. And I took an entire course called genre. And I still don't know what the fuck it means. Because I've had to ask you
on this podcast
many times. And I've had to ask you what it is. And you're like, well, I think they're talking about horror movies. And I'm like, how did you know that? And you were right. They were. And then, so this time they were talking about Scorsese and Mean Streets, and they're like, well, I'm, you know, I'm really into genre, and I love his passion, but I also love that it's genre. And I'm like, what are they saying? What does this fucking word mean?
It doesn't mean anything really, because there's a bunch of different genres. So there's like, it's just a way of saying like, this is a crime movie. This is a horror movie. This is a slapstick comedy. This is a noir film. Like, that's all you're saying, is this fits in line with these other movies. This Mean Streets fits in line with Goodfellas, which fits in line with one of the movies that we're going to talk about, State of Grace, which fits in line with The Godfather, which, you know, they're all, you could say, my favorite crime movie is this. My favorite crime movie is Reservoir Dogs.
Why
Whatever
don't they
it is,
say
right?
that?
Well, because they want to sound cool.
That's when I get lost.
And genre is just a way of saying it's, you're making it in a way
I've never heard anyone say
that we can compare it to other films that are like that.
Like, I'm a big fan of categories. Or category, singular.
Yeah,
category. I'm a big fan of category. You'd be like, what? Yeah. Which category? What are you saying? Okay. Did I say the Empire podcast? I meant to say Blank Check.
Oh, okay.
That's the podcast they were on when they were, and they love to get really pretentious when they talk about shit. They're the most pretentious of all the podcasts.
Yeah, so, genre is just a pretentious way of saying category. That's it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you nailed it with category, yeah.
Well, that's, to me, that's all it is. And when they start talking, like, I'm like, you can't just say a general term to describe something where you should be, you're supposed to be specific in this. You can't, that's like the opposite of what you're supposed to, but they all do it. And
you
nobody
should at least put crime in front of the word genre.
Yeah,
or
identify the genre that you're talking about. Don't just say the category. I love the category. Well, like, okay, which one? Like, so it annoys me. It's one of those things but nobody else gets annoyed. So then I'm like, am I a moron? Because I don't know. Guess you're supposed to figure it all out from context and never question it and be like, I'm confused at what you're talking about. So I guess I'm the idiot that doesn't that has real trouble understanding specific things, and I'm the only one going like, can you be specific with what you're talking about? So I feel like a fucking moron most of the time.
It's just a lazy way of saying that there are comparable movies. Like, the, you know, sorry, what's that movie with Jim Carrey? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
That movie has no comparable movies, really. So it's excluded from genre, but
oh, all
most
right.
movies are in genre.
Most movies are in category.
Yeah.
Okay.
A category.
A category. Now we're getting better. That's where I. That's what I'm like. They don't even say a genre. They just go. They're in genre.
Yeah, I know. It's just. It's just. It's pretend, like you said.
It annoys me. Now let me ask you a question. Serious question. Do you get annoyed when I go on rants and I derail the podcast and I talk to you about stupid shit that you don't want to talk about when you just really want to talk about the movies that you watched?
No, I don't just want to talk about the movies. I like the rants. I like the passion.
I guess it'd be weird if you were like, yeah, it annoys me. And then I'd be like, well, then every week for
every week
the last 5 years.
We both do it all week, every week. Yeah.
All right, good. And
like you've said before, the movies are just an excuse for us to get to the podcast and have a reason to do it, which is, I think, fine. And it gives us a through line in the podcast and something to, you know, to expedite it, but that's really it.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I need reassurance every once in a while. I have very low self-esteem, Jesse. Very low.
Very low.
So
you should. There's nothing for you to be real excited about yourself.
Thank you.
Let's not pretend. Okay, a few things we got to talk about the other movies, but I want a few quick things. I'm gonna give a controversial opinion. I might get canceled for this.
I would love it for you to do that.
Shannon Elizabeth is a good actress.
Okay,
that's it.
Wasn't what I thought you were gonna say.
Controversial.
Yeah,
she was beautiful. People didn't take her seriously. I think she was a good actress.
What'd you see her in that made you want to say that?
What a movie that I never would have thought I would like, called Tomcats.
Okay.
Which is an early 2000s shitty movie with a terrible premise that's, you know, just a male-centered thing, and she's very good in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that makes me feel like a total moron is
Keep
that
going.
Everybody can spot good acting, and they can say something, and I'm just always left in the dark. Mm. But I do agree with you that, you know, that movie we watched that was just awful, like just last week, the Minority Report. What was it called? Something.
I don't think it was called Minority Report.
The guy that was in the guy that was in the undercover.
Prince of the City. Prince of the City.
I don't know why. I thought it had something to do with report in the title. But that guy that led that, I know why I was thinking of it, because somebody was talking about Mean Streets and they were talking about Jerry Orbach. And you'd mentioned, you were like, Jerry Orbach should have been the actor in this movie.
Yeah.
Prince of the City. And it was some other guy and he wasn't a good actor. And I was like, I think you're right. I wouldn't have pinpointed that it was the acting, because I still don't. Mm-hmm. I can't specifically figure out what was bad about his acting, but he wasn't good in that role, and that made the whole movie suck.
It did, yeah.
And maybe.
And Jerry Orbach was great in his role, and you see the contrast when he comes on screen. You're like, there's some juice here. There's some electricity. And when Treat Williams is on screen, he's just whining and going, "I don't want to be undercover." Friends and you're like, okay, I've seen it 1,000 times. Like, a good actor would have said, I'm gonna play this differently.
See, well, that's, come on, that's where I'm like, I can't, because I'm like, well, Jerry Orbach would have been saying the same lines. They would have been the whiny lines. So how can
I'm not
you
saying
say
he
one
wouldn't
actor
have said
is
the same lines, but, or maybe he wouldn't have said, maybe he would have said, look, we gotta change this up, or maybe he would have done it differently. Maybe instead of whining, he would have done it in a different way. I don't know. I'm just saying, but the same thing you're saying is Treat Williams not great in that movie.
Yeah, I can never tell, because I'm like, well, what's a choice and what was a direction?
Yeah.
So if I knew the background and like the actor made the choice to do it a certain way, where some other actor would have made a different choice, then I'm like, well, one's better than the other. but I never know if it's that or they were told to do it a certain way. And then I'm like, well, how can you ever tell who's a good actor, who's a bad actor? But let's not rehash that.
Let's not rehash it. But speaking of Treat Williams, he died in a motorcycle crash. He was about 70. And the lead actor, composer, and Oscar-winning songwriter from Once also died in a motorcycle crash.
Yeah. Sad.
He drives a motorcycle in this movie. And the other star of this movie bought him a motorcycle after the success of this movie.
Oh, very sad.
Very sad. He
recently this guy died.
Yeah, like
that's probably why
ago.
You wanted to watch this movie, right?
That's exactly why. I had just, not just, but a few months ago I saw him perform, I think it was Fairy Tale of New York at Shane McGowan's, maybe his funeral or something like that, his memorial. And I was like, oh man, I haven't seen that guy in a long time now, Glenn Hansard. Mainly because he's a musician, not really an actor or anything. But when he died, yeah, I was saddened.
Mm-hmm.
Because this movie is, I like it. I don't know if you like it, but this is the kind of musical I like because it makes sense to me that musicians are singing in a movie. And I was watching, maybe coincidentally, Guys and Dolls. I'd started last weekend, and it's about gangsters, and it's not about musicians. It's about like low-level gangsters.
Right.
And all of a sudden, everyone just starts singing all the time.
Yeah.
About like horse races and Nathan Detroit and his crap game and this and that. And I'm like, I don't get it. Why would you start singing? But in this movie, Once, they're singers. They sing. That's what they do. And they don't just go off and start singing for no reason. They're singing because they're doing songs that they're writing and performing and recording and all that kind of thing. And it makes perfect sense in this movie. What do you think?
I know what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying, is that sometimes it takes you so far out of the plot because you're like, why all of a sudden did they just stop and start singing a song? And whereas this, it's a little bit more organic, because they stop to sing a song because he's playing his instrument and he's trying to get his record made.
Yeah.
But to me, it's basically the same thing. I dislike both types of musicals equally. It doesn't, one's not better than the other. 14 minutes into this movie, I hated it. And I was like, fuck Jesse for making me watch this. I hated it. But it wasn't because of the musical part. He sings a very passionate song at the beginning, Standing on the Street.
Yep.
And I was fine with that at that point.
Okay.
And then the girl is watching him. This incredibly gorgeous girl is watching him, and she throws a dime into his suitcase, and he makes a joke and says, like, okay, thanks for the dime. And then she says, like, you know, oh, so that was the best song I've ever heard in my life. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty awesome, whatever. And then she's like, no, come on, man. Like, what do you live around here? And he's like, come on, girl, can you please get out of here? I am busy pining over the lost love in my life.
Yes.
Why will this hot girl stop? Why won't she stop annoying me about how much she loves my music and everything about me? And I was like, fuck this movie. And then she's like, can I bring you my vacuum? And he's like, do whatever you want. I don't care. And she's like, okay, I'll come and I'll meet you tomorrow. And he's like, whatever. Fucking hot girls that are so annoying. And I was like, fuck this movie. Now, it redeemed itself shortly after when she follows him back to his apartment. And I was getting more and more frustrated. She's following him around. She follows him into his apartment. And then finally he says, like, hey, do you want to maybe stay here instead of going home? And she goes, fuck this. Thanks for the vacuum. Bye. And she storms out. And I'm like, now it's real. Now, He went, he's like, I've had the most signals I could have ever had from a girl in my life.
Yep.
And I made a move, and she was like, what? Just
Yeah.
disgusted. And I'm like, and he's thinking, how did I misinterpret all those signs?
Right.
And I was like, okay, I'm on board now with the movie. And then it's a not it's it's kind of a different type of a love story where, yeah, they kind of love each other or whatever,
Yeah.
but she's got a husband. It's a little bit more complicated, and really they love the music, and they put time together, and he has already made a promise, I'll never hit on you again, I promise I won't do that. And she said, like, well, all right, we can be friends then.
Yeah.
And but then you can see they like each other, like spend
Yeah.
time with each other, and so it's different. It redeemed itself. Now I will confess that I did fast forward the musical scenes
Wow.
because
Okay.
I really just hate when you've got a great plot going along in a movie and then you just take a break and you're like, wait here for 5 minutes while I go and fucking sing a song. That just always annoys me. And I'm like, can we just get back to the plot, please? I don't want to hear this silly song.
I
It.
think you're the first. You're the
No.
first person.
I'm just the first guy to
This
admit it.
no, this movie specifically. I think you're the first person who's ever said, I just skip through the musical parts because the whole movie is based on watching them sing these songs
Yeah.
in the movie. And like, I think the director said that the script was only 60 pages because he was like, the plot doesn't matter. Like, I'm pretty sure in the behind the scenes, he's like, the plot doesn't matter. It's just there so they can sing the songs and fall in love, and that's it. And he was like, we didn't even really care about that part. We cared about the music.
Yeah.
And you're the first person who's ever like, I wanted to see this plot.
Yeah,
Does she
well,
get the vacuum fixed? I don't know.
I'm still interested in knowing the answer to that. I did want to see more about how he fixes vacuums. I don't think I'm the only one. I just think people would watch this movie, they know what they're getting into, and they would watch it and they would enjoy that. And I didn't know what
Yeah.
I was getting myself into, and I wouldn't have watched it if I knew that it was a musical. I would never have watched it. But I did kind of get invested in their relationship a little bit,
Yeah.
because she's like, she came on so strong, and then she's like, no, fuck you. And then I was like, wow, okay. I want to see where this goes. Is she actually a cold monster?
Whole monster. Well, he misinterprets her love of music, thinking that it's him that she loves.
Yeah, I know.
Which is, I guess, something that probably happens a lot when you're a rock star, and that's how you get groupies. And yeah, I like that part where they had to kind of cool that down and get to the music and show them sort of collaborating and kind of falling in love through the music rather than the plot. So what overall did you like the movie? Because I can't tell.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it, but like I said, it wasn't. I don't care about the music. I don't care about the music.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I think this was still within the first 14 minutes of the movie when I said I hate this. I think they go to a piano place in the middle of the
Yeah.
day, a piano store, a music store, and
Yeah.
she sits down at a piano, and there's a scene where the camera starts zooming in on his face to show how much he's impressed with her singing and piano playing. And I was like, wow, they just do this in every movie. Anytime somebody plays a piano, you have to zoom in on somebody's face so that the audience knows, oh, it's very moving, the music.
Yeah.
Because if they
Yeah.
didn't, we'd be like, yeah, it's just annoying piano playing.
Yeah.
Can't we get past this already? Like, how long? Now we gotta, it's gonna be the next 5 minutes playing this fucking piano. I think everybody's like that. I assume we're all like that. maybe there's like one or two people out there like you that go, no, I enjoy listening to this. I'm kidding. Obviously, everybody's like you.
Yeah, I think most people would say when they hear somebody singing along to a piano, that it stirs something inside them.
Oh, it doesn't do anything for me. So that's why
Yeah.
they have to zoom in on his face to show you, oh, it's good. The music is good. And he's very moved by it. And now he's falling in love with her. So they did that, and I was like, fuck this movie. Fuck it.
Yeah, but the music also in the movie, and maybe not so much her piano playing, but the music in the movie has to be good for the movie to be good because it's so much about the music. Like, if do you think if the music was like, did you like the music that you heard that you didn't fast forward through?
No.
So you did like the movie without liking the music.
I didn't dislike the music. It was just like
Yeah.
every other piece of music. I don't care about it. It's fine. It was fine. When he gets really passionate, when he's singing on the street and he's screaming, I was like, yeah, you don't see that kind of a passion from street performers usually. So I was kind of like, wow, that was impressive. He really got into his song there. That was about it. That was as moved as I got.
I think that's his passion is, I think, the big thing in the
I
performances.
like after they recorded it. Oh, again, while they're recording their music, they had to show the guy, the producer. He's like, oh, I'm
Oh,
stuck here with these losers.
that's the one part I didn't like.
Y'all, really?
'Cause you see that in every movie where the
Yeah.
guy's like, all right, I'm here. I don't care. I got my feet up. I'm reading a magazine. And then he's
Yeah.
like, wait, what's that?
I think they probably did they
There's some
do that?
music there?
Yeah. Did they do that at Dewey Cox?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. They do it in like every fucking movie, though.
But I'm almost sure I've seen a parody where, like, the first note the guy plays, or like Dewey Cox goes like, "Rock." What's his song? Walk Hard, Walk. And as soon as he starts singing, the guy's like, "Whoa, what is that? I've never heard this." And it was like after the first note.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
you're
the one
right.
part I didn't like. The guy could have just been a fucking professional.
Yeah.
Like, just show him halfway into it. Just show him doing it, his job at first,
Yeah.
and then he becomes excited.
But like you said, they didn't care about cliches. It was about the music and about the singing. It wasn't about the movie and the plot.
No, not at all. It was about the music, and it won a Best Song Oscar.
Sure.
And that's kind of the biggest thing that you could hope for this movie.
Let me ask you this. At the very beginning, when the brother, or is the guy, the drunken guy that's listening to him and then steals his money and runs away? Is that his brother?
No, it's just some guy. He's just calling him brother, I think.
But he says, after he chases him down and he gets his money back, he says something like, if you want money, just ask me for it. Don't make me chase you. And then he says, how's our mom? And then he goes, she's dead. And then he says, like, how he says something like that. And I'm like, is that actually his brother? It made me laugh because I'm like, oh, that was his brother.
No, it wasn't his brother, but I don't know. I think they were just making conversation at that point. And then,
But maybe
but
he says,
it's,
how's your mom?
I
And
think he
then the
says,
guy
how's your
says,
mom? Yeah.
okay, I thought he says, how's our mom?
No,
And
I
the
think he
guy goes,
says, how's
she's
your
dead.
mom?
Okay.
Yeah,
I
he's
thought he said
making
another
conversation.
comment after that, like, and then how's our dad or something? I don't know. I thought that was all right. I just wrote a better joke. They should have made that guy his brother. That would have been much funnier to think that his brother stole from him.
That would have been funny.
All right. All right.
All right, speaking of brothers, State of Grace.
Okay.
Another movie with a family. A
Okay.
sister and two brothers, one who seems to be 20 years older than the other one, which is fine. And Sean Penn. How'd you like this movie?
Let's try do something different. I don't know. Just sir, tell me about the plot. Tell me something about anything about the movie.
Sean Penn comes back to his childhood neighborhood, and he is now trying to get a job with his friend I guess, Ed Harris, alongside his other friend, played by Gary Oldman, and also he wants to date their sister, played by what's her name? Robin
Robin
Wright.
Wright.
Robin
Oh,
Wright.
he almost let me have that one.
And it becomes obvious. I think it was supposed to be obvious at the first, which I couldn't believe they spoiled it. It didn't make any sense that they spoiled it, but I guess it was supposed to be obvious at the first that he's an undercover police officer.
I disagree. I don't think it was supposed to be obvious at all. And
Okay.
what you're calling a spoiler is probably when they revealed it.
Okay, so John, the first scene is John Turturro walking up to him, giving him guns.
Yes.
Okay, the second scene is them at a drug deal.
Yep.
And then he uses the same gun to kill John Turturro.
Correct.
Why would you not think they, okay, so they obviously know each other,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Why would you, it just doesn't make any sense that those two things would happen.
Correct.
And you don't think that they're in league together.
No, I didn't. I disagree with that part of it.
Okay.
I agree with everything you said up until you would have to think that they're in league together. I was trying to figure out how did this deal go south? I thought John Turturro just gave him the guns. How did he then kill him? And then I just kind of wrote down, like, Jesse better explain this to me, unless they, if they don't explain this in the movie, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so I was just left confused. That's it. And then the movie went on. And even when you show John Turturro, I think as a cop or something at a funeral, that was the part that you said was a spoil. Even when they showed me that, I didn't realize that he was Sean Penn was an undercover cop until he actually pulled out the badge or whatever and said, I'm a cop.
So you think that maybe John Turturro gave him a gun with blanks in it
I
and then
didn't
pretended to die?
I didn't know. All I'm saying is that I didn't know. I hadn't like this is one of the cases where you're saying like obviously the logic makes sense. It's they there was no time travel, Jesse. So I don't know what happened. I can only I'm only good at
Things
time
only make
travel.
sense in time travel.
No, I just didn't I was like, this doesn't, I didn't understand what had happened. I thought maybe somehow they were going to reveal that John Turturro was still alive and he was looking for him. And that I didn't understand it. And I hadn't put it all together. And I was just going to go like, they better explain that because we haven't seen John Turturro for half the movie. And if he's really dead and they don't explain that, I'm going to be pretty annoyed or confused that I missed something big. That's all.
So let me ask you another way. Would it have made more sense in the movie to not have that first scene and to just have the first scene be the drug deal gone bad?
Would it have made more sense? I wouldn't have been confused after it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you wouldn't be confused.
Yes.
You wouldn't be wondering whether why John Turturro and Sean Penn all of a sudden shoot each other
Right.
when they seemed okay the scene before. And then they seem to not know each other in the next scene.
Right.
Like, it just didn't make any sense. It's like, why not just start it with
Yeah.
that scene?
Yeah, you're right. And that's a choice. They probably thought, should we cut out this beginning scene? Because it's a different way to go. Yeah.
That was actually a scene that they filmed in reshoots because they'd cut out like 15 minutes that was supposed to open the movie.
Okay.
So they wanted, because Sean Penn wasn't in the first 15 minutes of the movie, it was Gary Oldman and Ed Harris taking over this Irish gang
Okay.
from the old guy, played by, I think, Michael Gambon, a famous actor, who got completely cut out. And they realized Sean Penn should be in the movie right away. So
Okay.
they refilmed that scene, and I think they filmed the drug deal scene, and they filmed a few other scenes, but it just seems so unnecessary that they would have that scene. Like, it just makes no sense, the opening scene.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't make any sense
It just makes you wonder what the fuck's going on.
until they reveal it later on in the movie,
It would have been a
which
much better reveal if the first time or the
there was no
second
hint,
time,
there was no
yeah,
clue.
you see John Turturro in a police officer's uniform, and you're like, oh, what's this? He's not dead? Oh my
Yeah.
God, what's going
I'm with you.
on?
You might have your idea might have been better as a movie.
But it's not that I saw it. It's that how did everybody not see it? Like, everybody who
Well,
made the movie not see it. Like, I just don't get what their logic is to put that scene in.
I don't know. It worked on me. It just made me confused, and then I was waiting for an explanation, and
But
then
I don't
I.
think you're supposed to be confused, though.
You think that it's supposed to be obvious that he's a cop?
No, I think it's, I don't think you're, I think you're supposed to think he's a hoodlum and he kills John Turturro's character, who's also a hoodlum.
Okay.
And there should be no confusion until the reveal of John Turturro wearing a police officer's uniform.
Well, you're just assuming that. So, yes, if their intention was no confusion, he's a hoodlum, and there's no doubt, then I agree with you 1,000%. Cut out that scene where John Turturro is handing him a bag of guns. It wouldn't make any sense. But I don't think you're 100% confident that that's what they were going for, because all it did for me was confuse me. And then by the time they reveal it, I'd kind of forgotten that I was confused at the beginning. So there was it, maybe it was just a clue to be like, obviously there's something off about
Yeah,
this guy.
maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, what else about this movie?
So this movie came out 3 weeks before Goodfellas, which is unfortunate. Another movie essentially in the same genre, you could say, and made much better. Everyone loves Goodfellas. If you go up to anyone and say, hey, have you seen State of Grace? They'll probably say no.
I got to tell you, I'm agreeing with the critics about the TV show The Westies. They all said how predictable it was, and they'd seen it before. And I watched the first episode, and I was like, I don't think it's that bad. I couldn't call it that predictable. But since then, everything that they've done, I'm like, I'm now coming around to what the critics said. Like, this is such a fucking predictable TV show. And they have the one slimeball character. As soon as I saw Gary Oldman with his greasy haircut, just the clear fuck up, who's obviously going to keep fucking up and keep causing them problems, I'm like, oh, right, that's what they were talking about in the Westies. There's like these fucking cliche characters. And yeah, so every movie has a fucking. Wasn't De Niro that in Mean Streets? He was the fuck up
Johnny
guy.
boy, yeah.
And then they've got what? Fredo? I don't know. And Fredo's not that close to this kind of a fuck up, but then they've got Gary Oldman in this movie's the fuck up gangster. I think every gangster show has had this one character that
Yeah,
stays
Michael
around.
Imperioli in Sopranos.
Although they give him more room to grow a little bit.
Well, of course, because it's a TV show. But okay, so the Westies is portraying the same events, or not events, but the same people as this movie, right? The same gang.
Oh, I don't know. Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah,
It could. It definitely could be.
because this gang is the Westies in this movie.
Is that their name? No, I know the Westies. Some of the characters were based on real characters. Some people went to jail, and they were talking about that. They were saying some people are still in jail from this gang. So you're 100% right. This could be based on a real gang, but I don't have any idea what the facts are.
And State of Grace is based on the Westies, and the Westies is obviously based on, yeah, so this is a kind of a retread of the same area.
Well, the head of the gang is not the brother to the fuck up character, so it's not an exact. They're not going for it.
It could be though, it could be the guy who got cut out of State of Grace, Michael Gambon's character, because he'd be around the same age as, who is it, J.K. Simmons? Who's the,
Yeah.
and I've seen 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of it.
Why would you start and then stop after 5 minutes?
I don't know.
Okay.
This for some reason,
I
but
just
I've
do
just,
things.
I just, I've seen it like the first 10 minutes. This guy kidnaps an Italian guy. And then you think they're going to shoot the Italian guy, but they shoot him. That's pretty much all I've seen. And then maybe a couple more minutes after that, but that's the main thing. And I didn't even, and I think I'd seen it, a few hours before or after watching State of Grace, and I didn't put the two together until now.
It's becoming really annoying. And yet I have seen all six episodes, I think, that they have, but every episode just gets more and more annoying with they've got Titus Welliver in there, just totally wasted. Like his character is just boring and wasted. They've got J.K. Simmons, whose character is fucking so boring and cliche. Okay, well, sorry, we're talking about the State of Grace. So yeah, Gary Oldman, I was like, yes, he's annoying, he's greasy, he's gonna be a fuck up, okay. Yeah, Sean Penn being an undercover cop. Okay, I you know what, the one thing I kind of liked was the reveal that he was a cop, and that's the one thing you didn't like.
It's not that I didn't like the reveal,
You didn't like the beginning part. Yeah, okay.
it's that I didn't like that they spoiled the reveal.
Yeah. What else? What else about the movie? Do you like Ed Harris's performance? I know you love commenting on
I
performance.
liked Ed Harris, but I think Gary Oldman is the real sort of performance in this movie.
Really?
It's a big performance. It's maybe a little over the top, but he's the one who really sort of loves his neighborhood, and he's the one who wants to, like, Ed Harris doesn't really seem to want to do anything in the sense of like move this gang along and have pride in their neighborhood and everything. And Gary Oldman seems to be the guy who's obviously he shouldn't be the leader of the gang because he's crazy, but he's the kind of the most interesting thing about the movie.
Ah, oh, annoying cliche. Although again, it's from 1990. Maybe it wasn't
Yeah.
cliche. We hadn't
I
even
don't
had
know.
Goodfellas yet.
I find Sean Penn's character sort of like he does the same thing that Treat Williams does. I don't want to be undercover anymore, John Turturro. Stop me being undercover. And it's like, you could just not do it. Just
Yeah.
stop doing it. And he's like, I'm quit. He says like 50 times, I quit. I'm not doing it. And then John Turturro's like, just do it. And he's like, okay, fine, I'll do
Yeah.
it. So yeah, I think he wasn't the best in this movie. Not the crazy performance that but he could have also done Gary Oldman's part. That would have been cool.
No.
Ed Harris was okay. I didn't like that Ed Harris and Gary Oldman did not seem at all like brothers. They didn't really give me the impression that they were related at all. And I think all three of the siblings, I didn't really get any family connection from them. I would have believed far more that Sean Penn and Gary Oldman were brothers.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else did you do you like how many times have you seen this movie?
I don't think I've seen it before.
No? Okay.
No, because if you were, I thought I had. I think I owned it too, but I don't think I ever watched it. Or if I have watched it, I've completely forgotten everything, which would be surprising. So no, I don't have. And it could be just the curse that I'm watching the Westies and then I watch this and I'm like, oh, it's all so predictable. And but yeah, it's fucking that one character of Gary Oldman just ruins it all for me.
The one
So
that I like. So, do you like the end shootout? The end shootout is pretty cool.
oh yeah, the slow-mo,
In
the
slow
whole thing was in slow
motion.
motion. While I was watching that, I was like, well, this is different. They just all of a sudden stopped and went the whole last like 10 minutes of the movie is slow motion shootout. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten until you just brought it up. So it didn't obviously have a big impact on me. It was different. And they kept cutting back to a parade during the shootout and
Yeah.
stuff. So I don't know, some choices, but nothing stood out to me as has made this a worthwhile movie. So
Yeah.
I'll probably never watch it again.
Yeah. And if you're like, I remember the first time I'd heard of the movie, it like the DVD said Ed Harris, Gary Oldman, Sean Penn. Like, how could you make a movie that's less than awesome with those three in a crime movie? But they managed it.
Oh, you didn't like it either?
It's okay. But like you said, I'm not gonna watch it too many more times. I think this is only the second time I've seen it.
Right.
So
Yeah.
it's not great. Not great.
Not great.
Not great.
Before I forget, Empire Podcast, they're British, right? So
Okay.
everything they say sounds so much smarter. And
Yeah.
they are smarter and quick-witted. They're just definitely smarter people. And everyone in England is smarter than me. Everyone. I've said that before.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I'm like, oh yeah, you're not all that bright, are you? Is that they went on a rant about how the greatest comedy of all times, and they all agreed,
Okay.
is Fawlty Towers.
The
And
greatest comedy show or just like piece of comedy?
everything. Just all of the answers to that. They just were like,
Okay.
it's comedy genius.
Yeah.
And no one can dispute that. That's what the one girl was, she's like, no one. And she said, I defy you to find anyone on earth that could watch that show and not bust a gut laughing. I watched the first six episodes and they only made 12. So
Yeah.
I guarantee you they're not talking about the second, the last six are everything. They're talking about all 12.
Yeah.
And I watched the first six, and I don't think I cracked a smile once. It is terrible. And I'm like, what are all these British people talking about? They're
Yeah.
all fucking morons. So
Yeah.
I like it when somebody brings themselves back down. They all knock themselves down a peg by agreeing to that.
Yeah, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that it is British as well. So they have a different, I guess, regional sense of humor, maybe.
Yeah, but
Just
usually it's
like,
awesome. Usually they made the best comedy of all times, which is The Office.
yes,
And
that I'll agree with 100%.
they don't all agree on that.
That's crazy. That it's crazy that, like, look, I don't remember Fawlty Towers that well. I remember thinking, yeah, this is okay, but The Office is just the greatest fucking comedy ever made.
Are we going to be
Easily.
done in 60 seconds? You got to finish it quick.
All right, next week is Half Moon.